We are very blessed to have you on the call every week almost. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. Now I would like to hand over the call to you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, Pavitra Mataji. My humble obeisances to you. My humble obeisances to all the devotees who are listening. Today we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela. We are reading chapter 19. We will do two verses, verse 36 and verse 37. Verse number 36. अनुपमा मल्लिका तांद्रा नाम श्री वल्लभ रूप गोसानी रा छोटा भाई परम वैष्णव. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Rupa Goswami's younger brother was a great devotee whose actual name was Sri Vallabha, but he was given the name Anupam Malik. Verse number 37. Tanhala na rupa gosani prayage aila mahaprabhu taha shuni anandita haila. Translation. Shri Rupa Goswami and Anupam Malik went to Prayag and they were very pleased to hear the news that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sammandha Vidnyana Daine Prabhave Namaha Madhuryojvala Premadhya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Viruddhapa Siddhanta Dvantaharine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambha Rasambodhe Padambujaya te namaha Namo bhakti vinodaya Satchidananda namine Gaura shakti swarupaya Rupanuga varayate Gaura virbhava bhumestvam Nirdeshta sajjana priya Vaishnava sarvabhauma श्री जगन्नाथाय ते नमः। वाञ्छा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरात्विसे नमः। पंचतत्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपा स्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। जयतां सुरतौ पंगोर्मम मंदामतेर्गति मत्सर्वस्व पदाम्बोजौ राधा मदन मोहन। दिव्यवृंदारण्यकल्पधूमाद श्रीमद्रत्नागर सिंहासनस्थौ श्रीमद्राधा श्रील गोविंद देवौ प्रेष्ठालिभिः सेव्यमानो स्मरामि। श्रीमान रासारसारंभी वंशी वटतस्थित कर्षण वेणु स्वनैर गोपीर गोपीनाथाय श्रीस्तु नः। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। आई वुड अगेन लाइक टू ऑफर माय हम्बल ओबेसेंसेस एट द लोटस फीट ऑफ ऑल द डिवोटीज हु आर लिसनिंग। It is my great fortune to be in your association and to be given this opportunity to try and serve you by reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit and glorifying Srila Bhishma Dev during Bhishma Panchak in this very holy month of Kartik. So thank you very much, everyone. We are reading from the Madhya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit, written by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. And we are reading about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. This chapter deals with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Srila Rupa Goswami. And we are reading how Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Anupam Mallik, and Srila Sanatan Goswami, how they are in an apparent condemned material situation. They are working under a Mlecha king, a Mlecha ruler who does not follow Varanashram Dharma, who is not a devotee of Krishna, who breaks the regulative principles, who eats meat, who slaughters cows, and even their names have been changed. Just see, Anupam has become Anupam Mallik. So, Dabir Khas, Sakar Mallik. So even Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, their names are also changed. And they were practically ostracized from the Vedic society of that time because it was very orthodox. So from an external standpoint, we can see how at this time Sanatan Goswami is imprisoned by the Nawab. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami and Anupam Mallik, they are trying to make their way to Prayag to finally meet the Lord of their hearts, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And to make that possible, they have to resort to all sorts of material adjustments. They have to leave some money with the local grocer so that Sanatan Goswami can pay a bribe, basically bribe his way out of the prison. And externally, these situations, they seem so deplorable, so abominable for someone of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami's stature, because they are eternally liberated souls, very intimate and confidential devotees of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, in the spiritual world. And here in the material world, just see, their names have changed. They are working for a Mlecha Raja, and they are in a materially such an abominable situation. They have to give bribe, they have to face imprisonment, and they are social outcasts as far as the Vedic society of that time is concerned.
But
thank you. But at the same time, their transcendental position is as it is. Although externally they are going through all these challenges, internally their hearts are always united with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No amount of material ups and downs can shake their love and devotion for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And just see, the Nawab has threatened that he is going to attack Orissa. The ruler of Bengal has threatened that he is going to attack Orissa, where Maharaj Pratap Rudra rules as a just king, as a devotee king, as a Rajarshi. He is protecting Jagannath Puri. He is protecting the Vaishnavas. He has created a safe heaven for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Sankirtan movement. And here, the Nawab has thrown Sanatan Goswami into prison, and now he's threatening to attack Odisha. Just see. We feel that only we are facing unfavorable political climate, or only we are facing material ups and downs. But just see, even in those days, there were so many ups and downs. There were so many problems. Even during the time of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, during the time of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, during the time of our own founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, political ups and downs are constant in this material world. No time, no Acharya is exempt. But Krishna consciousness transcends all these material situations. Superficially, we may see that it is affecting the preaching, it is affecting the propagation of Sankirtan movement. But actually, this is just like a cloud blocking the sun. The cloud can never touch the sun. The cloud on this tiny earth planet is insignificant compared to the mighty sun. Cloud is temporary compared to the sun, but yet the cloud can completely cover the sun from our vision and put us into darkness. But that doesn't mean that the cloud is greater than the sun. It is just a temporary situation. But Krishna consciousness is transcendental. So what we can learn from this is, sometimes we may see that devotees are going through a lot of struggles. Devotees are going through a low phase in their spiritual life. They are having a lot of challenges. We should not judge them. We should not judge them. It is so easy to judge Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and Anupam at this point. But they are great Vaishnavas, as this verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions. They are great Vaishnavas, great devotees. So when devotees are going through unfavorable situations, we should pray for them. We should try to render some practical help according to our capacity, according to our level of realization. But we should not judge them. We should not judge them, because material world is full of ups and downs, full of problems. Dukkhalayam ashashvatam, anityam asukham lokam. what to do. It's going to affect everybody. We have to remain focused on Krishna. And there is one more very great devotee who also, just like Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and Anupam, just like them, he was also externally in a very, very abominable situation. He was fighting on the side of the evil Duryodhan, although he was himself a pure devotee. We are talking about the great Mahajan, Shri Bhishma Dev. Can everybody please make sure that your phones are on mute so that we don't hear any background noise? Thank you. Hare Krishna. So we are talking about Bhishma Dev. Just like Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, he was also on the wrong side. He was also in bad company. But he was like a lotus, always above the muddy and dirty water. His consciousness was always transcendental. This is Bhishma Panchak, the 5 days when Bhishma Dev, he fasted, and these last 5 days of Kartik month are very special. Devotees sometimes do special fasts, special austerities to make more spiritual advancement and for greater purification. So today, for the next 30 minutes or so, we will discuss about this great Mahajan, Srila Bhishma Dev, who, just like Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, was also apparently stuck in a very compromising material situation. So Bhishma Dev, he is the son of Mother Ganga and the powerful king Shantanu. He was the disciple of the personality of Godhead, Sri Parshuram. So very illustrious, very powerful, very well qualified, very virtuous personality. In fact, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 12 Mahajans are mentioned, who are great authorities as far as the real dharma is concerned, and Srila Bhishma Dev is one of them. Srila Narad Muni explains in Mahabharata to Yudhishthir Maharaj that tarko pratishtha shrutayo vibhinna nasho rishiryasya matam na bhinnam dharma tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena gatha sapantha. That tarko apratishtha, by just tarka, by just dry arguments, apratishtha, you cannot establish the truth. Tarko apratishtha shrutayo vibhinna, the Vedic literatures, the shrutis, they are vibhinna. They talk about different topics, different subjects, different dimensions of the truth. They are confusing. Nasho rishiryasya matam na bhinnam. And a person is not called a great rishi unless and until he gives a different opinion and establishes his own logic and his own school of thought. Nasho rishir yasya matam na bhinnam. Unless and until you establish some different school of thought, you are not called a rishi worth your salt. So there is some sarcasm in this statement. So instead of having one clear-cut path, because there are so many rishis and they have their own schools of thoughts, it becomes even more confusing what the real dharma is. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam. And because of all this, dharmasya tattvam, the truth about the real dharma, guhayam, it remains a secret. it remains confidential because of all these things. So what is the solution? The solution is Mahajano yena gatha sabantha. Truth cannot be established by dry arguments. Scriptures are of different varieties and different types. Different rishis talk about different schools of thoughts. The heart of dharma remains confidential because of all this. The only solution is just follow in the footsteps of the great authorities, the great Mahajans. And there are 12 Mahajans. One of the 12 Mahajans is Bhishma Dev, about whom we will discuss just a drop from the ocean of his good qualities and his pastimes. We'll just discuss one drop. We'll try to discuss one drop. I'm not even qualified to call it a drop, but I'll make a humble attempt by your blessings. Bhishma Dev always knew what the real dharma was, and therefore he knew that the son of Dharmaraj, Yudhishthir Maharaj, who was so pious, who was decorated with such good qualities of truthfulness, humility, good behavior, that he could never have any enemies, Ajatashatru. One of the names of Yudhishthir Maharaj was Ajatashatru. He was such a gentleman that nobody could have enmity towards him. Bhishma Dev knew the good qualities of the five brothers, the five Pandavas, headed by Yudhishthir Maharaj. And he always wanted them to become the next rulers of the Kuru dynasty, the great Kuru dynasty that was coming for generations. Bhishma Dev wanted the Pandavas to be the rightful rulers, because he knew that Duryodhan was a very sinful person, was a very unscrupulous person, and his 99 brothers just were always trying to simply please his evil intentions. So Bhishma Dev always wanted to support the Pandavas, but because Duryodhan had banished the Pandavas to the forest by treachery, and Bhishma Dev had taken a vow that he will always support the ruler of the Kurus and he will never abandon the ruler of the Kurus, he was obliged by his own vow to support the evil Duryodhan. Bhishma Dev's name was Devavrat. He was one of very powerful vow. He would never break his promise. And he had made this promise that I will always support, as long as I am alive, I will always support and fight for the Kuru dynasty. So here he was in bad company. Here he was on the wrong side, just like Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. So Bhishma Dev was stuck on the side of Duryodhan. And the pious Pandavas carefully protected by their eternal Lord, Shri Krishna, were on the opposite side. It was the 8th day of the 18-day war that took place at Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra. And on the 8th day, towards the evening, Duryodhan and Bhim came face to face. And they started dueling with their bows and arrows. And Bhim remembered what Duryodhan had done to Draupadi, what Duryodhan had done to them by banishing them to the forest, and how Srimati Draupadi Devi, who was always used to royal comforts, had to face so many difficulties and inconveniences and pain in the forest. And he held Duryodhan responsible for all this. And his anger increased. And with great vigor, he started shooting arrows at Duryodhan. He broke Duryodhan's flag He killed Duryodhan's charioteer. He killed the horses that were pulling his chariot. And he broke the chariot of Duryodhan. And then he hit Duryodhan with several sharp arrows, which pierced Duryodhan's armor and gave him great pain. And Duryodhan started bleeding. And Bhim continued to shower him with powerful arrows. And Bhim became faint with pain and blood loss. And he almost fell off his chariot. At that point, Jayadrath came to Duryodhan's rescue. And he challenged Bhim and engaged with Bhim in a one-on-one combat. And Kripacharya quickly came and he put Duryodhan on his own chariot and fled from the scene, escaped the wrath of Bhim. Just then the sun set on the eighth day of the war, and both sides blew their conch shells, and the war and the battle came to an end for that day. Back in the camp, Duryodhan was feeling very ashamed and embarrassed that he had been so badly defeated by his arch rival Bhim. He lost his appetite. He used to enjoy drinking wine in the evenings, but today he did not feel like drinking his favorite wine because he was so embarrassed, because Duryodhan had always boasted that he would kill Bhim, and today in a fair one-on-one combat, Bhim had utterly defeated, almost killed him, and Kripacharya had rescued him. Because if Duryodhan would have died, the war would have been over. So Duryodhan was feeling very embarrassed. And in his emotional pain, he remembered his dear friend Karna. And he remembered how just before the battle began, Duryodhan had wanted Bhishma Dev to be the commander-in-chief of his army. Why? Because it was a well-known fact that this son of Ganga and disciple of the personality of Godhead Parashuram was the greatest warrior on earth. So Duryodhan wanted to capitalize on the strength of Bhishma Dev, and he had wanted him to be the commander-in-chief. So he asked Bhishma Dev to make an assessment of his own army, of the army of Duryodhan. And Bhishma Dev said, "You have many Rathis who are great chariot fighters. You have many Maharathis who can fight with 1,000 Rathis or chariot fighters at one time, single-handedly. And you have many Atirathis also. Atirathis can fight with countless Rathis at one time. They are the most powerful warriors." And Bhishma Dev told Duryodhan that, "Duryodhan, you are an Atirathi. And your 99 brothers are Maharathis." And then he said that Kripacharya is also Atirathi. Dronacharya is Atirathi. And when he came to Karna, Bhishma Dev had said that because Karna has lost his celestial armor, and because he has been cursed by his own guru Parshuram, who is also my guru, because of Parshuram's curse, Karna is not as powerful. And even when he was fully powerful, Arjun had defeated him in one-on-one combat at Virat, at the end of his exile, the 1 year that they were incognito. Arjun was living as Brihanala. And when he fought with Karna, he had defeated Karna. Not only that, he had killed Karna's brother in Karna's presence. So Bhishma Dev said that Arjun is a superior fighter than Karna. And now that Karna has this curse of Parshuram and his armor is also gone, he is not Atirathi anymore. He has become weaker. As soon as Karna heard this, he got up from his seat and he started yelling at Bhishma Dev. And he called him, "You old senile man, you have lost your brain, you have lost your intelligence because of old age. You are saying that I am not an Atirathi. I say that you are not even a Rathi, you are a half Rathi. Old man, you don't say anything to me. You are the enemy of Duryodhan. You have been fed food like a beggar by Duryodhan and Duryodhan's father, Maharaj Dhritarashtra. You have lived at their mercy, but you are like a poisonous snake whose poison is simply increasing by eating the food given by the master. You are an enemy in the garb of a friend. My dear friend Duryodhan, abandon at once this old man, Bhishma Dev. He is a useless old man. Just abandon him and give me command. I will go right now and I will kill all the five brothers. You just give me an order. When Bhishma Dev heard these piercing, insulting words from Karna, he told Duryodhan that as long as I am the commander, everyone has to follow my command and be unified under me. Karna again spoke up. His voice was echoing in the room. And he said, follow your command? Old man, I will never fight under you. Oh Duryodhan, I take a vow that I will not fight under this old man's commandership. Let this old man die. After that, I will join the fight and I will single-handedly kill the five brothers. Karna told Duryodhan and he walked out. He said, I will not fight as long as Bhishma Dev is the commander of the Kuru army. So Duryodhan, in his embarrassing situation on the eighth night of the battle, is remembering his dear friend Karna. Duryodhan had always pinned his hopes on Karna, that Karna will be able to kill my enemies, the Pandavas. And in this time of embarrassment, he remembered his brother Karna, his friend Karna. So Duryodhan went to the camp, to the tent of Karna. Karna immediately got up from his seat and he welcomed his friend. My dear friend Duryodhan, please come. How are the Kurus doing? How is your army doing? Are you gaining over the Pandavas or not? 8 days of war have already elapsed. Please tell me, how was your day today? And Duryodhan, with great frustration, informed Karna that we are not doing so well. The Pandavas, guided by Krishna, are so powerful that they are completely routing our forces. Our army is depleting day by day and we are losing. And today I was almost killed by Bhim. Look at my wounds. When Karna saw this, he said, my dear friend, just give me your orders. Tomorrow I will get on my chariot and single-handedly destroy the five brothers. You tell Bhishma Dev, who is anyway not fighting to his full capacity and who is become weak because of old age, tell him to retire and step down, and I will take charge of your army, and tomorrow I will destroy the five brothers. Please go and tell Bhishma Dev to retire. Duryodhan says that Bhishma Dev is very powerful. He is our grandfather. It is said that no warrior on earth can equal him. Let me go and ask him, let me go and implore him to fight to his full capacity. And if he still refuses, then I will ask him to retire and step down, and I will make you my commander from tomorrow. So let me go to Bhishma Dev. If I don't come back to your tent tonight, that means Bhishma Dev has agreed to fight full strength. But if he disagrees, then I will come back and I will make you the commander. Saying this, Duryodhan goes to the tent of Bhishma Dev. As soon as Bhishma Dev sees Duryodhan, his body covered with different wounds inflicted by the arrows of Bhim, Bhishma Dev gets up from his seat and tells him, please take a seat. Please take a seat. Please allow my physicians to treat you and your wounds. And immediately the physicians of Bhishma Dev, they come and they put some special herbs from the Himalayas on the wounds of Duryodhan, which immediately heal his wounds and his pain is also gone. Once Duryodhan is a little bit more comfortable, he sits down on the floor at the feet of Bhishma Dev and he says, "O Lord, O Grandfather, you are the greatest warrior on earth. Why are you being lenient towards the Pandavas? Why are you not exerting your full force? Why are you not killing them? 8 days have passed. Why are the Pandavas still breathing? Why are they not dead? This is only because of your love for the Pandavas and your hatred for me. Oh, Grandfather, I am also your grandson. Why are you so partial and why do you hate me so much?" Just see, Duryodhan is so diplomatic. He's so diplomatic. But we should not just go by the words and his gestures. We should look at the intention. Externally, if you hear this conversation, it looks like Duryodhan is such a gentleman. He's so humble. But if you look at his, that is if you just look at his actions. But if you look at Duryodhan's intentions, then you know how poisonous he is. Then you know how poisonous he is. His intention was to kill the pious Pandavas. So Bhishma Dev was unmoved by Duryodhan's petition. And he said, "Before the war started, Duryodhan, I had given you my word that every day I will kill 10,000 men from the Pandava army. All the 8 days I have kept my vow. I have more than kept my vow. I have been slaughtering several thousands of their forces every day. So why do you say that I am not fighting with all my heart?" Duryodhan says, "You alone are capable of killing the five brothers who are protected by Krishna. Please kill them. Please kill them. But if you are partial, if you are not a true Kshatriya, then please step down and I will make Karna the next commander. He is a jewel among Kshatriyas and he alone can kill the five brothers in a single day if I command him to. So please make up your mind, O Bhishma Dev." Bhishma Dev was sitting on his seat and Duryodhan was sitting at his feet. They were alone in the tent. With great anger, Bhishma Dev clasped the handle of the sword that was tied to his waist. He waited for a few moments to control his anger and then spoke in a very cold and flat voice. He told Duryodhan, "O Duryodhan, I have eaten your bread. You have supplied food to me. And I am bound by my own promise. Therefore, I am supporting you in this fight against Dharma. It is not possible to defeat Yudhishthir, who is Dharmaraj himself, as long as he is protected by Keshav, who is the supreme person. But still, to prove that I am not partial, to prove that I have not cheated you, I take this vow." And Bhishma Dev extracted 5 sharp shining arrows from his quiver. He took a silk cloth and carefully placed it on the ground. Then Bhishma Dev placed the 5 arrows on the silk cloth and sat down next to the arrows. He closed his eyes with his back erect. He chanted some Vedic mantras and he meditated for a few moments. Then he opened his eyes and he told Duryodhan, "O Duryodhan, I have empowered these 5 arrows with all my ascetic power. And with mantras, I have empowered each arrow. With these 5 arrows, I will be able to kill the 5 Pandavas tomorrow. These 5 arrows if I am allowed to use them tomorrow, I will kill the five brothers with these five arrows. So go and sleep peacefully tonight. With these five arrows, tomorrow I will kill the Pandavas. This is my vow. You know, I have always kept my vow. Duryodhan, he gets up from the ground and he starts slapping his arms and jumping in joy like a small child. He tells Bhishma Dev, I knew you could do it. I knew you could do it. I am so grateful to you, grandfather. And then suddenly a doubt comes in Duryodhan's mind. He says, wow, Bhishma Dev has empowered these five arrows with all his ascetic power. These arrows are destined to kill the five brothers, my enemies. What if Bhishma Dev has a change of heart, or what if someone comes and takes away these arrows from him? Let me do this. Let me keep these arrows in my custody. So he tells Bhishma Dev that, Bhishma Dev, let me do this. Please give these arrows to me for tonight. I will keep them safely. And tomorrow morning, please take them from me and kill the five brothers. Bhishma Dev smiles. He says, all right, as you wish. And then Duryodhan carefully wraps the five arrows in the silk cloth. And with great happiness, he goes back to his tent. And he feels that tonight I will sleep peacefully for the first time in many days, because now the death of the Pandavas is confirmed. Back in the Pandava camp, Yudhishthir and his four brothers are sitting with Krishna. And suddenly they see that Krishna has become very pensive. So Yudhishthir asks Krishna, oh Keshav, you are the refuge of the Pandavas. You are the lord of this universe. What makes you so pensive? Please tell us, is there something that we can do? So Krishna keeps his hand on Arjun's shoulder and says, my dear Arjun, Bhishma Dev has empowered five arrows with all his ascetic powers, with all his mystic powers. And these five arrows are meant to be used to kill you, five brothers, tomorrow. These five arrows right now are in the custody of the evil Duryodhan. Do you remember when you were in Vanvas, when you were exiled to the forest, Duryodhan and Dushasan and Karna and Shakuni, the four of them decided to mock you and make fun of you. Therefore, with all their royal armies and their royal ornaments and garments and royal paraphernalia, they came in a big army to the forest where you were living, to show you, to show off their opulences, their comforts and luxuries, and mock you, make fun of you. Do you remember? And at that time, by the will of destiny, they enraged some Gandharvas who were staying near the river. And the Gandharvas attacked them, and they captured Duryodhan and Karna and completely defeated them. At that time, the news reached Yudhishthir Maharaj that Duryodhan and Karna have been captured by the Gandharvas. So he ordered you and Bhim to go and save the Kauravas. At that time, you and Bhim challenged the Gandharvas and easily defeated them and rescued Duryodhan and Karna. At that time, in front of his royal army, Duryodhan was greatly embarrassed. And he told you, my dear Arjun, thank you for saving my life. Ask me for any benediction. At that time, Arjun, you had laughed. And you had told him that you don't need any benediction. You will ask for it sometime in the future. And in your mind, you thought you will never need to ask that benediction. But my dear Arjun, that time has come tonight. Tonight, I want you to go to Duryodhan and ask him for those five arrows. Go at once. Go as a friend. Arjun says, my dear Keshav, you are the well-wisher of the whole world. I will do as you say. Immediately, Arjun got up. He took off his armor, put it at the side, and he exited the tent, got on a white horse, and single-handedly, without any weapons, without any armor, seated just on a horseback, he rode to the Kaurava camp. And he went straight near the tent of Duryodhan. As soon as the soldiers saw him, that Arjun has come, Dhananjay has come, they immediately showed him to the tent of Duryodhan. in a very friendly way. Duryodhan had just kept those 5 arrows on his bed and he was about to sleep. As soon as Arjun entered his tent, Duryodhan got up and he said, "Oh, Pandava, what brings you here? Please have a seat. Ask me for anything. Are you afraid of fighting me? Do you want to ask me for a kingdom? Ha ha. If you do so, I promise I will give it to you without a fight right now. Just ask me what you want." Arjun, without sitting down, without accepting a seat, told very humbly, "Duryodhan, do you remember I saved your life from the Gandharvas? I rescued you. At that time you had promised me one benediction. Do you remember?" Now Duryodhan, there were two guards who were watching this. So Duryodhan became very embarrassed. And he remembered that yes, he had promised Arjun. So he says, "Yes, Arjun, I remember very well. Ask me for any benediction. I will give it." So Arjun tells that, "Give me those 5 arrows that are on your bed, wrapped in that silk cloth." Duryodhan is shocked. He says, "Oh, Arjun, I will give them to you. But please tell me, how did you find out about these 5 arrows? They were a top secret." Arjun smiled and it said, "Krishna told me." And he took those 5 arrows and said thank you to Duryodhan and immediately went away. Duryodhan was shocked. He said, "This Krishna again? What is the thing with this Yadav? He seems to be a very special person. He seems to know everything. I don't know how." But anyway, Bhishma Dev was able to empower the 5 arrows. He can empower another 5 arrows tomorrow. At least Bhishma Dev has vowed to kill the Pandavas tomorrow. So it should not be a problem. And thinking like this, Duryodhan goes to sleep. Next day morning, as the armies get ready for battle, Bhishma Dev asks Duryodhan, "Duryodhan, give me those 5 arrows. And Duryodhan very sheepishly tells Bhishma Dev that, "I'm sorry, grandfather, but last night Arjun came and took away those arrows from me." So Bhishma Dev is very surprised. In his mind he thinks that, Krishna is trying to protect his devotee. Krishna is trying to protect his devotee. So he asks Duryodhan, "What happened? Why did you give those arrows?" So Duryodhan says that, "I owed him a benediction and he asked it for me, so I had to give it." So Bhishma Dev says, "But how did Arjun come to know that you have those 5 arrows which were empowered by me personally?" So Duryodhan says, "Krishna told him. I don't know how Krishna found out, but Krishna seems to know everything. He sent Arjun." Then Bhishma Dev smiles. "Hello. Nobody can protect the 5 Pandavas from me except Krishna, because Krishna is the greatest. I would have certainly killed the 5 brothers with those 5 arrows today, but those 5 arrows are gone now, thanks to Krishna. I had invested all my power in those 5 arrows. I cannot invest that same power in other arrows now, because my power is already invested in those 5 arrows. So I will not be able to kill the 5 brothers today, O Duryodhan. But because Krishna made me break my vow, either today I will kill Arjun, I will focus all my energy on Arjun, and I will kill him today. Either I will kill him, or Krishna will have to break his own vow of not taking up weapons in this war." Remember, before the war, Krishna had taken a vow that, "I will only work as a charioteer of my friend Arjun. I will not take up any weapon. I will not attack anybody. Only Krishna can protect the Pandavas. So today, either I will kill Arjun, or Krishna will have to break his own vow, because he is the only one who can protect Arjun from me. No one else has the strength to stop me. Not Drishyadumna, not Drupad, not Satyaki, not Bhim, no one. No one has the strength to stop me except Keshav. I am no match for him. But I will exert myself completely and try my best to kill Arjun today. Saying this, Bhishma Dev, he arrays his army in the shape of an eagle, and he is right at the center. And the great war starts on the ninth day. And Bhishma Dev is fighting full strength, and he is destroying the Pandav army. Nobody is able to stand in front of Bhishma Dev even for one moment. His bow is drawn to a circle constantly. He is constantly shooting arrows which are whizzing through the air like snakes. Sat, sat. Those arrows are just going everywhere. They are piercing the armor, killing the elephants, killing the horses, charioteers, rathis, maharathis. Everyone is getting slaughtered. Nobody can stand in the path of Bhishma Dev on the ninth day. He is going full blast. And Yudhishthir Maharaj tells his four brothers that because we have made Bhishma Dev break his vow, he is really upset. And he is wreaking havoc in our army. So let us try our best to stop him. Bhishma Dev has said that he will kill anybody who comes in his path except Shikhandi, because Shikhandi was a woman in his previous life. So let us try our best to stop him. So Krishna tells Arjun that, Arjun, today you should focus your energy on Bhishma Dev. And Arjun says, yes, yes, my lord, please take me near Bhishma Dev. And from a distance, Bhishma Dev also can see Arjun and Krishna coming. And Bhishma Dev can see the flag on the chariot of Krishna and Arjun. And Bhishma Dev can see Hanumanji sitting on that flag and giving his war cry. And as the Kauravas hear that war cry, their hearts are shattered and they lose all their strength and vitality. Bhishma Dev also tells his charioteer to take his chariot in front of Krishna and Arjun. And then Krishna and Arjun, they come face to face. And Bhishma Dev is fighting with full vigor, full force with Arjun. And Arjun is remembering that how when he was a small child, he used to come running to Bhishma Dev and climb onto his lap and look at his beautiful face and say, Father, Father, Father. And Bhishma Dev used to very gently pat Arjun and run his fingers through his hair and tell him, my dear child, I am not your father. I am your father's father. Arjun was remembering all these intimate, loving moments with his beloved grandfather. And Arjun could not fight wholeheartedly. He was fighting half-heartedly. He was just neutralizing the attack of Bhishma Dev, but he was not counter-attacking. He was just defending, but he was not attacking. He was not being offensive. He was just being defensive. And Bhishma Dev, he was fighting with all his strength. Vyasadeva describes in Mahabharata that Bhishma Dev appeared like a full moon, clad in his white garments, his silver garments, on his mighty rath. He appeared to be dancing in all directions on his chariot. He was shooting arrows on all sides and killing everybody that came in his path. And it appeared as if he had regained his youth. And he was dancing like a youth on his chariot, destroying everybody. Nobody could stand before him. Only Arjun could. And Arjun was just half-heartedly defending himself. But he was not trying to attack Bhishma Dev. And Bhishma Dev started attacking the chariot of Arjun. Then Bhishma Dev started shooting arrows at the charioteer of Arjun, at Partha Sarathi Krishna. And when the arrows were striking Krishna, the arrows shot by the hands of the pure devotee Bhishma Dev, when they were striking Krishna, Krishna was bleeding and Krishna was trembling and Krishna was struggling to maintain his composure and Krishna was struggling to control the horses. He was trembling when the arrows of Bhishma Dev were striking him. And when Arjun would see that Krishna is being struck,
Arjun would increase his arrows towards Bhishma Dev, but he still could not wholeheartedly attack Bhishma Dev out of love. But Bhishma Dev was fighting with full strength. And it is explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that Bhishma Dev is a pure devotee of Krishna. He is a lover of Krishna. And when he was shooting those arrows at Krishna, when he was showering Krishna with those arrows, it was like a devotee doing Abhishek of Krishna. Just like we do Pushpa Abhishek, we shower Krishna with flowers. Bhishma Dev was showering Krishna with the flowers in the form of arrows. Because Bhishma Dev was reciprocating with Krishna, was engaging with Krishna in the Virya Ras. There are five principal rasas: Shantaras, Dasyaras, Sakhyaras, Vatsalyaras, Madhuryaras. In Dasyaras, there is a Virya Ras also, a subcategory. The rasa of chivalry, because he was a Kshatriya. And Kshatriyas, they engage in warfare. So his Abhishek to Krishna was in the form of arrows. And Krishna was reciprocating with the Abhishek by bleeding. By bleeding. Just like we decorate the beautiful transcendental body of Krishna with gopi dots and chandan, Bhishma Dev was decorating the transcendental body of Krishna with decorations of blood. When Bhishma Dev was fighting with all his strength, he started piercing Arjun's body also with arrows, and Arjun also started bleeding and experiencing great pain. And Bhishma Dev was fighting so vigorously, he was exerting himself so much fighting against Arjun that he reached a point where he was about to slaughter Arjun. He reached a point where he was about to kill Arjun. And Arjun was not even fighting wholeheartedly. He was fighting half-heartedly out of his love for his dear grandfather. At that point, Krishna, who was holding the reins of the chariot, he threw down the reins of the chariot and he jumped off the chariot and he declared, Arjun is not fighting wholeheartedly out of his love. Let me reduce the burden of Arjun. Let me kill Bhishma Dev myself right now. Bhishma Dev had destroyed so many chariots around Arjun. Krishna found the wheel of a broken chariot, and Krishna, in his right hand, he picked up the wheel of the chariot. With full anger, he charged towards Bhishma Dev. Krishna's blackish curly hair were flying as Krishna rushed full speed towards Bhishma Dev. Krishna's hair opened up and it was blowing in the wind. Krishna's upper garment fell off his body. Krishna's yellow dhoti was shining in the late afternoon sun, and Krishna's complexion, which is like a rain-filled dark cloud, became even darker because it was covered with the dust that was raised by the hoofs of the galloping horses on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Krishna was laboring hard to control the horses and the chariot under the heavy attack of Bhishma Dev. And with this great effort, as he was running, beads of perspiration were running down his beautiful face. And his body was decorated with drops of blood at different places, resembling gopi dots. Krishna's shoulders were broad. In his right hand, he raised the chariot wheel. And Bhishma Dev was looking with great love at Krishna. When the Kauravas, headed by Duryodhan, looked at this fierce form of Krishna, they were reminded of Narsingha Bhagwan. They thought the end has come, death has come. They lost all their vitality and they dropped their weapons. Alas, Krishna has picked up a weapon. Now he is going to destroy the entire Kaurava army. They felt powerless. The Kauravas felt powerless against Krishna, because Krishna is the source of all strength. Balam balavatam chaham kamaraga vivarjitam dharma viruddho bhuteshu kamosmin bharatarshabha. Balam balavatam chaham. He is the source of all strength. Who can fight against Krishna? But when Bhishma Dev looked at this beautiful form of Krishna, what did Bhishma Dev see? Bhishma Dev thought that this chariot wheel that Krishna has lifted up in his arm is glowing because of the touch of Krishna. It has become effulgent like Krishna's body. It resembles the primeval lotus on which Brahmaji takes birth. The upraised arm of Krishna is like the stem of that lotus. And Krishna is the original Narayan who is holding that lotus. And Bhishma Dev smiled as Krishna charged towards him, just like a lion charges to destroy an elephant. Just like a lion attacks an elephant, Krishna attacked Bhishma Dev. Krishna was angry. His lotus eyes appeared to the Kaurava soldiers as red hot copper. Angry eyes. But for Bhishma Dev, they were beautiful lotus eyes. And Bhishma Dev got tears in his eyes. He smiled looking at Krishna's beautiful form, and he dropped all his weapons. He outstretched his arms. Bhishma Dev outstretched his powerful arms towards Krishna and said, "Oh my Lord, come. Please come and take me." Govinda, Govinda, Hare Murare. Govinda, Govinda, Mukunda Krishna. Govinda, Govinda, Rathanga Pane. Govinda, Damodar Madhaveti. Govinda, one who gives pleasure to the devotees. Bhishma Dev was fighting with Krishna. You broke my vow, I will break your vow. Just like Krishna used to wrestle with Sridhama, Bhishma Dev was wrestling with the vow of Krishna. And here, after picking up the chariot wheel, just like his own Sudarshan Chakra, Krishna had broken his own vow by picking up a weapon and charging Bhishma Dev. By doing this, he gave pleasure to Bhishma Dev. That's why Govinda, one who gives pleasure to the senses of the devotees. Govinda, Govinda, Hare Murare. Hare is the name of vocative call to Hari, Krishna, who takes away all inauspiciousness from our life. Bhishma Dev is saying, take away all inauspiciousness from my life. My life has become inauspicious because I'm serving the evil Duryodhan. Take away all inauspiciousness. Govinda, Govinda, Hare Murare. Murare, O enemy of the Mura demon, please don't consider me your enemy. I am your devotee in the garb of your enemy. The real enemy is Duryodhan. Krishna, as he is charging towards Bhishma Dev, tells him, "O Bhishma Dev, you are responsible for this carnage. You should have convinced Dhritarashtra to abandon evil Duryodhan. You were his minister. Dhritarashtra had three principal ministers, Vidur, Dronacharya and you. It was your duty as the principal minister of Dhritarashtra to convince him to give up his evil son Duryodhan." Bhishma Dev says, while dropping his weapons, "My dear Keshav, every word you say is the truth. Everything you say is dharma. I have no arguments. I told Dhritarashtra to abandon Duryodhan just like you abandoned Kamsa, even though he was your own uncle. But Dhritarashtra did not listen to me. What to do? So Murare, the enemy of Mura demon, Bhishma Dev is telling Krishna, please don't consider me your enemy. I am your servant, I am your devotee in the dress of an enemy, in the garb of an enemy. Govinda, Govinda, Hare Murare, Govinda, Govinda, Mukunda, Krishna. Mukunda means one who gives liberation. Bhishmadev is saying, oh dear Krishna, please liberate me from this abominable situation that I am in, stuck on the side of Duryodhan. Mukunda, please liberate me. Krishna, Krishna, because you are all attractive. Look at you. Look at you, how you are charging me, how you're so handsome, you're so beautiful, you're so attractive, you're all attractive, Krishna. Govinda, Govinda, Mukunda, Krishna. Govinda, Govinda, Rathanga, Pane. Govinda, Govinda name is coming again and again because Bhishma Dev is in ecstasy. Krishna is giving him so much ecstasy. Govinda, giving pleasure. Rathanga Pani. Ratha means chariot. Anga means one part, one limb of the chariot, which is the chariot wheel. Pane means hand. So Rathanga Pani is the name of Krishna, where Krishna picked up the wheel of the chariot as a weapon to attack Bhishma Dev. Govinda, Govinda, Rathanga Pane, Govinda, Damodar Madhaveti. Govinda, Damodar, you are tied by the rope of your love for your devotees. You are not tied by the rope of your own vow. You are willing to break the rope of your own vow to keep yourself bound by the loving rope of your devotee's vow. I took a vow that I will make you break your vow and just see, my dear Govinda, you have kept my vow and you have broken your own vow. You are Bhaktavatsal. Govinda Damodar Madhaveti. And Madhav, you are the goddess of fortune. You are the source of all fortune. I am in an unfortunate situation. Please bless me with fortune. Govinda, Govinda, Hare Murare. Govinda, Govinda, Mukunda, Krishna. Govinda, Govinda, Rathanga, Pane. Govinda, Damodar, Madhaveti. Arjun saw that Krishna has picked up the chariot wheel as a weapon. Arjun drops his Gandiva and jumps off the chariot and runs towards Krishna. Krishna has already covered half the distance between the chariot and Bhishma Dev. Arjun somehow catches up with Krishna and jumps and throws himself at Krishna's lotus feet and grabs Krishna's lotus feet tightly with his hand and says, Keshav, please, please don't do this. Drop the chariot wheel at once. Please don't break your vow. The whole world will criticize you that you broke your vow. Please don't do this. I take a vow that tomorrow I will fight to my 100% capacity. I will exert myself 100%. And tomorrow, I, the holder of Gandiv, Bo, Arjun, I take a vow that tomorrow I will personally bring down Bhishma Dev. But please put down the chariot wheel. Please don't break your promise. Don't break your vow, my dear Arjuna, my dear Krishna. The whole world will criticize you for all time to come. Nobody will take your words seriously if you break your own vow. When Arjun takes this vow that tomorrow I will bring down Bhishma Dev, Krishna becomes pacified. And he puts this wheel down. And then both Krishna and Arjun, hand in hand, they walk back to their chariot. Even the sun cannot stay in the sky when they see this intense moment and the sun sets down. The conscious blow and the fight for the day is over. And Bhishma Dev, with eyes anointed with love and filled with tears of love, he is watching Krishna and Arjun. And looking at the beautiful form of Krishna, Bhishma Dev declares, "My dear Rathangapane, my dear Krishna, this beautiful form of yours, charging me with the upraised chariot wheel, will forever be my meditation, will forever be in the core of my loving heart. Thank you for this reciprocation." This is Krishna, how he reciprocates with his pure devotees. And this is Bhishma Dev, our Mahajan, teaching us so many lessons. Our actions are important, yes, but more important than our actions are our intentions. Bhishma Dev's actions superficially seem abominable, but his intentions were supremely glorious and pleasing to Krishna. With this, I would like to conclude our discussion today. I thank you all very much for your patient hearing. Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Bhishma Dev ki jai, Sri Krishna Arjun ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari.
Hari Hari.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, Prabhuji, very, very much. You had just taken us to the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Hare Krishna. And have a darshan of Bhishma Dev, Arjun, Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhupada and Dr. Prabhupada. I hope I've unmuted everyone. The class was very, very beautiful. Very beautiful narration, as usual. It was so nice. You took us to Kurukshetra. Very nice. Prabhu, I just had one question that has often been asked by many people. So this about Bhishma Panchaka and the significance of Bhishma Panchaka. So the point everyone has been asking is about, we all know that Bhishma Dev actually, he was lying in the bed of arrows and he was waiting for Uttarayan to start. But apparently, what is the significance of Bhishma Panchaka versus what is the significance of the death of Bhishma Dev? So there is a lot of confusion regarding this, because anyhow he wanted to pass away during Uttarayan. So what are these 5 days and what is it about the death of Bhishma Dev? Are they connected? Are they not connected? Can you comment on it?
So Mataji, I will tell whatever I know, and after this we'll conclude, because I'm a little late. I have to get back to work. So Bhishma Dev, he fasted during these last 5 days of Kartik. Kartik is a very auspicious month, and Bhishma Dev fasted during these 5 days. So therefore these 5 days are called Bhishma Panchak. These 5 days he fasted. And if we also fast on these 5 days following in the footsteps of the great Mahajan Bhishma Dev, then we become purified. We can see that Gita Jayanti, when Bhagavad Gita was spoken, comes later on, comes in the month of December, Gita Jayanti. That's why we have our book distribution marathon in December. So how can, you know, Bhishma Panchak, where he's already on the bed of arrows, preparing to die, how can that come before Gita Jayanti? Isn't it? So this happened next year. So Gita Jayanti took place, then the Kurukshetra war took place, 18 days, and Yudhishthira Maharaj was victorious. Then they went back to Hastinapur from Kurukshetra. There, Yudhishthira Maharaj was coronated as the king of the whole world. Krishna stayed with him for several months, and then he decided to come back. And when Yudhishthira was confused about his duties and overwhelmed with guilt and grief, at that time, after staying for several months in Hastinapur, then Krishna suggests that now let us go and meet Bhishma Dev. And then they go to meet Bhishma Dev, and then Bhishma Dev speaks for a long time on Sanatan Dharma, on the duties of a king, on the duties of different varnas and different ashrams, how to control the mind, how to control one's senses. On so many topics Bhishma Dev speaks. And while he's speaking, at that time the sun begins its course in the northern hemisphere, Uttarayan begins. And then Bhishma Dev offers those beautiful prayers which are mentioned in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam to Krishna.
And then in Krishna's presence, Bhishma Dev leaves this world. And then they return to Hastinapur, and then Krishna returns to Dwarka. So that is the significance. I hope this makes sense, Madhuri. Does it help?
So what you're saying is about this Bhishma Panchaka, it's more like Bhishma Dev, he had fasted on these studies. It has nothing to do with the passing away of Bhishma Dev, right?
That is what I have understood, Madhuri, from whatever I have read. But if anybody has more accurate information, you can. But I was listening to a class of Radhanath Maharaj today only this morning. And Maharaj was saying that, after the war, then they all went, they left Kurukshetra, they went to Hastinapur. Yudhishthira was, Maharaj was coronated, and then they came back, and Bhishma Dev was still there.
So, that makes sense. But, so basically, this concept of Bhishma Panchaka is more like during the month of Kartik, Bhishma Dev had fasted. So, that is what we are trying to observe. Is that right?
That is my understanding, Madhuri.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
But if somebody knows more accurately, you can please correct me or add.
Yeah, please. If someone else would like to add also, please add. Yeah, because this question has been raised in different ways, different times. So I just wanted some clarification. Sure, Prabhu. If anyone else has anything to add also, please.
Hare Krishna, Adikata, Prabhu, Dandvat Pranam, Augusta, Prabhu, wonderful class. I'm making the notes for Prabhuji, but I'm not able to make notes because it's live. We feel that Leela, that much potency in your class, not in your class, in Savitri Mataji, Echik, Savitri Mataji, or Ramkiri Prabhuji. You all are working hard to give a Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Krishna.
Anyone else has any questions or comments or additions, realizations you want to share? Okay. So thank you all so much for joining. And thank you so much, Prabhu, for the very beautiful katha as usual. We wait for this beautiful katha every time when you speak. It's so nice. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you all so much for joining again. We can end the class now. Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavaniti Vaishnavedya Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavaram Vakti Jai Bhishma Dev Ke Jai Srila Prabhu Pad Ki Jai His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu Ki Jai
Srila Prabhu Pad Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Dhamir Pranam.